Today is Education Sabbath, and we just wanted the kids to be a part of every aspect of service this morning. And so we certainly, as we were listening to that, we were reminded and we learned that that God is the creator of music. The devil is the distorter of music. He's the one who distorts it, but I believe as they were playing that it was music in God's ears. I believe that was close to a little bit of heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Kim, brothers. Such precious privilege it is to see kids share their talents that God has given them, their abilities, to glorify our Creator. God is so good. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day where we can just be reminded, Lord, of the truth of education. And help us all to be learners. Lord, learners, help us always to have an attitude of learning, that we may not only learn from thee, but even learn from children. I pray that your blessing will rest upon us this Sabbath, that you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. But this is Education Sabbath, and I like this proverb. Proverbs says, a wise man will hear, thank you guys, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This proverb seems to suggest that we must listen. We must listen in order to learn. There's many ways that we can learn things, but the proverb here is saying that we must listen. We must bridle the tongue and open the ear. We must be listeners, so that we can increase in knowledge. Some people just want to talk. All they do is talk. You know, it's hard to have a conversation with someone who just talks the whole conversation. It's not really the definition of a conversation. But some people just want to talk and talk and talk and talk. And the proverb here says that a fool is known by, well, not this proverb, another proverb Solomon says, a fool is known by his many words. Many words because, number one, they never stop talking, but number two, because usually they just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. So there's a lot of ways to learn, but, you know, the Bible, when it talks about learning, the word hear is just throughout Scripture, all over Scripture. Hear, O Israel, and you know, God is constantly asking Israel of old to listen to him. We all must have an attitude of learners. You know, the classroom, the way even the classroom is structured in a way that one must use the ear. It's structured so that the way that communication and an increase in knowledge and education works is that the students are in the chairs facing the teacher, and the teacher speaks and communicates knowledge, and the students are expected to listen. We all went through this growing up in school, and some of us were better listeners than others. I wasn't always listening as I should have. I was often talking to my friends. And, you know, body posture is important in a conversation. If you're talking to somebody and they're not really looking at you, they're turned away from you, or they're looking in the sky. You know, body language can also suggest that the person's not really hearing what you're saying. And so even body language, you know, suggests how we are listening, if we are listening. If you're in a classroom and your back is turned to the teacher, it's not only rude, but it's a signal saying, I'm not listening to you. And so teachers don't like that because they're getting a message sent to them that the student is not listening. But listen to this statement here. This is from Education, page 15. Some of these pictures are from our Adventist Academy, right over there in the Northeast. So I know you'll recognize a couple. I know I recognize that guy right there. There's Ian. But listen to this statement. To restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created, to promote the development of body, mind, and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized, this was to be the work of redemption. This is the object of education, the great object of life. The object of education is to restore the image of God in man. That's what the object of education really is. It's not to be an Ivy League graduate, as prestigious as that may be, or a math genius, as necessary as that may be in certain fields. Not a rocket scientist, and how, you know, how many people look up to rocket scientists in the sciences. It's not to be a computer wizard, but to restore the image of God in man. That is the source, the purpose of true education. True education, to restore the image of God in man. When we look at our little ones, we need to remember that heaven, when heaven looks at the little ones in school, God doesn't so much want their success, but he wants their sincerity. God does not want their achievement, he wants their obedience. God does not want their talent, he wants their commitment. God does not want their possession, he wants their passion. God does not want their beauty, he wants their behavior. God does not want their brain, he wants their heart. God does not want their knowledge, he wants their loyalty. God does not want their ability, he wants their ambition. You know, to be ambitious for the kingdom of heaven, to win souls. God does not want them for time, but God wants them for eternity. The purpose of true education is to restore the image of God in man. There's another psalm that says, is there, can we somehow, maybe, is it the projector? We're cutting off some words here. But anyway, it says maybe you guys can fiddle with that a little bit. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keepeth the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This proverb could so easily be applied to the educational systems of our world. You know, we look up to these Ivy League schools and some private schools, and they're held in such high esteem. The rich will not send their kids anywhere except to the best of the best with the best reputation. You know, but the proverb is saying, the psalmist is saying, David is saying, unless the Lord builds the house. So really, that is applicable to the educational system. Unless the Lord builds the educational system, they all labor in vain. They all labor in vain. You know, these schools can produce children, grown-ups who are wise and smart beyond their years. Great men and great women, great thinkers of our times, who will win the praise of society. These schools can produce such men and women. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Because ultimately, what is education if it doesn't draw you closer to God? What is all the knowledge you acquire if you are not drawn closer to the heart of your Creator? What is it worth in the end? It's all vanity. It's truth. It's true that it is all vanity. All the educational systems of the world, if they are not founded on biblical principles, they're built in vain. They're built in vain. That is a wonderful psalm. Some years ago, there was, here's a proverb I shared earlier. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is what Adventist education does. It trains up children in the way they should go, so that as they grow older, not the school alone, but the parents in the home and the church collectively with the educational system, training up a child in the way they should go in relationship with Jesus and fear of the Lord, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it, what they've been learned, what they've been taught, and the teaching, the constant growing accumulation of biblical knowledge and growth in a relationship with God. But many don't go through these Christian educational systems. They are brought up in the secular systems. Some time ago, there was a man found in a hotel room. He had been dead. He had taken his own life. And he left these words. He left these words. He said, I leave to society a bad example. He left this on a note with the in the hotel pad that was left there. He said, I leave to society a bad example. I leave to my friends the memory of a misspent life. I leave to my father and mother all the sorrow they can bear in their old age. I leave to my wife a broken heart, and to my children the name of a drunkard and a suicide. I leave to God a lost soul who has insulted his mercy. What man would take his own life? And that doesn't mean that everyone who grows up in the educational system, the Christian educational system, Adventist educational system, doesn't make wrong choices and veer off the path. But obviously someone who would get to this point and leave such a note was not trained up in the way he should go. Somewhere there was a disconnect. Somewhere he didn't understand the great love of God, the great mercy for him, his value. Somehow in his young years, that was not instilled within him, both the value to his parents and the value to his God. Who would leave a note such as this? It's a sign of the failure of society. Many believe, even among Christians, that public school better prepares young people for the real world. Since public school is a reflection of the real world, it better prepares them for it. Also, more sports, more activities, and all these other things. Even Christian people in the church believe that the public school systems are actually better, that they provide a better foundation. They make the kids more prepared for the world. You know, many people view Christian education, Adventist education, as sheltered. You've heard that word before. Don't shelter your child. You know, both in the home, don't shelter them. And both in the educational system, don't shelter them. They need to be exposed to the world so that they can be better for the world. They can be better equipped to face it when they go on their own. So many people believe that the public educational systems are better. But look at some of these statistics here. Not literal statistics, but listen to some of these facts. Over 1 million abortions performed, the majorities are young people. Over 1 million runaways, the majorities are young people. Over 1.5 million suicides or attempted suicides per year, the majorities are young people. Over 1 million in mental clinics, the majorities are young people. Over 500,000 junkies, the majorities are young people. Over 500,000 in prison for serious crimes, the majorities are young people. Over 10 million alcohol and drug addicts, the majorities are young people. Over 10 million who practice alternative lifestyles, the majorities are young people. And the reason the majorities are young people is because the educational systems of the world fail to instill the critical moral values that one can only find in a relationship with God and in a relationship with true education, where children are being trained to reflect God's image, where they're being trained so that the image of God is restored in them. You know, young people are our future. Do you believe that? Do you really believe young people are our future? Well, they are. It's true. Did you know that in 30 years, someone's going to be sitting in your seat? In 30 years, somebody's going to have the nerve to take your seat in church. Somebody's going to have the audacity to take your seat. In 30 years, many of you will not even be here. I won't be here. In 30 years, some young person, maybe even some young person who was in the children's story this morning, may be sitting in your very spot. The future of the church and even society at large is young people. And it may even be that one of the young people, one of our kids up here during the children's story, may actually stand in the very position I stand as the pastor. That's the future of our church, is the young people. How can we not invest in our young people? Or how can we just say we believe that the children are the future and not invest in them? It's an amazing thing to think that in 30 years, your seat will be taken, and there's going to be a young person sitting where they were once little, now they'll be grown. If the Lord tarries, God forbid he tarries, when a child enters the real world, they should have a sense of what true value and virtues are. This is what Adventist education provides, a true sense of values and virtues, a sense to choose the right and shun the wrong. When a child enters the real world, they need to have a good sense to make good moral judgment and flee from evil. A sense of morality, decency, dignity, and devotion to duty. A deep sense of inner conviction. Kids are not prepared for the world by being launched into the world. That begins in the home. It begins in the school. So that when that child actually does go into the real world, that conviction, that firmness of character, that purpose, that dignity, that inner sense of worth is already instilled in them. And that's what the public school system does not do. You see, the public school system just prepares kids to reflect the world around them. The only thing public school system does is prepare them to blend in with the values that we see in society today, or should I say, the erosion of values. Adventist education does the exact opposite. And I wish I would share all the statistics today, but the Adventist Church has one of the largest parochial school systems. And across the board, studies have been done over and over again, and across the board, Adventist students who go to Adventist schools score in the 78th percentile, much higher than the national average. In fact, even where the national average is at the bottom, Adventist kids who go through Adventist education are at the top. And this isn't research that's just been done by Adventists. This has been done by people in high positions looking at the different models of schools. Adventist education does exactly that. This is Gomez, Teacher Gomez. I know you older ones really appreciate him. He's a Bible teacher over at the academy and teaches some other subjects. He may have even spoken here in the past, but anyway, young people are our future. I couldn't believe this picture. Ian actually has a stick of lettuce, celery. Did you eat that, Ian, that day? We're still trying to get Ian to love vegetables. But children are our future. You know what's interesting is that when you look at these pictures, they really don't look any different than pictures you'd see in the public school systems. But there's a huge difference. You see, they may look the same, but the fact is that they're not the same. Because these kids are being trained for eternity. These kids are learning about what matters most in life, and that is a relationship with God. You know, Sister White says that society is in desperate need of men and women who will stand firm on principle, unwavering in the face of evil. And that's exactly what Adventist education does. These little ones are going to be the leaders of the church. Leaders of the church, great influencers in society, leading others who don't know our Lord into a relationship with Him. These young people really are our future. You know, we have to invest in Adventist education. I don't want to take too much time with my slides. I actually asked several kids to come and share themselves. So I want them to come up and just maybe we can just learn a little bit from them. But let's look at this quote here. True education means more than the perusal of a certain course of study. It means more than a preparation for the life that now is. It has to do with the whole being and with the whole period of existence possible to man. That's every year that we live on this earth. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers. It prepares the students for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. Councils of the Church, page 202. What a beautiful statement that really captures what Adventist education is all about. I want to invite Brian up here, Brian Rojas. Where are you, Brian? And we're going to, thanks, Pascual. We'll have a mic for you. Come on up here, Brian. Going to ask these kids a couple questions, and then they're going to share. You got the wireless mic right there. Pascual's got it for you. So I already stated your name, so now I don't need to ask you it again. But what grade are you in?
I'm in seventh grade.
Seventh grade? Okay, good. Who's your teacher? In fact, I believe I have a slideshow of all the teachers. See, this is most of the faculty and staff at BAA, so I get to give you a chance to show us your teacher and tell us their name. Use a little red button in the middle. Who's that guy? He looks familiar.
Mr. Westenhout.
Anybody seen him before? Bill Westerhout, amen. Thank you. Tell us, Brian, what if you had to think of one thing you really like about your teacher, Bill Westerhout, what would it be?
That he is funny and he's very patient with us.
Funny, yeah. And very patient.
Yes.
Yeah, I know as a kid it's good when the teachers are patient. Amen. So, okay, that's great. It's nice having a teacher who's funny and patient. That's really good. What is your favorite subject?
Math.
Math. Wow, amen. Somebody said amen. Who's the math person in here? Was that you, Floor? Amen. You're in good company. Okay, so math is your favorite subject. When you do math, do you see God in math at all?
No, yes.
You do? Okay. In your own words, would you mind sharing?
Well, God has our life measured out. So even if we have our problems in life, he has our answer. When the stuff is going, he's not like a dictator. He won't force you one way. You could either choose the right answer or the wrong answer. But either way, he'll be there for you.
Good. If you don't mind, put the mic a little closer to your lips and just say the first part one more time. God, what does he do?
God has our lives measured out.
God has our lives measured out. Measurement, that's math. And that's reassuring, isn't it? God has our lives measured out, which basically means that God, our lives are in the hollow of his hand. That's a comforting thought. That's awesome, Brian. Thank you. You appreciate being a student at the academy over there?
Yes, I do.
You have friends?
I have lots of friends there.
Amen. Good. Do you feel like you're respected? The teachers respect you and your opinions?
I do.
Good.
I feel like I'm cared for there.
Amen.
Like a family.
Amen. That might not be so if you were in public school. I know there's a lot of caring teachers in public school, but it's a different story there. I went through the public school system. Thanks for sharing, Brian. That's great. Thank you. All right. So Brian loves math, and Brian sees God in math. How about that, Brian? I like what Galileo said. He said, mathematics is the language with which God has written the universe. And that's true. I mean, there are fixed laws everywhere, all throughout the universe. And there's also fixed laws with our health. Fixed laws that if we violate those laws, we suffer the consequences, right? We suffer because God wants healthy, happy people. I like math too. It's not my forte, but I do like math. I respect it. Wonderful. I'd like to invite Garrett. You have something to share, I believe. Come on up here. Where is he? There he is. Put your head up. Walk tall. Proud that you're a child of God. That's humility. Garrett's a humble kid, and we're so honored to have him as a part of our family. Garrett, who's your teacher? And let me give you a little thing. You'll show the congregation little red button right there. Tell us who your teacher is. Oh, I got to go back to the, sorry about that. There we are. Okay.
Miss Killebrew.
Miss Killebrew. Anybody know Miss Killebrew? She is one of a kind. Praise God. That academy has been so blessed with Miss Killebrew. Tell us a little bit about Miss Killebrew, Garrett, and why you like Miss Killebrew.
Well, she's funny sometimes.
Put the mic up and it's close.
She's funny sometimes when she's not mad at us. She encourages us every day, uplifts us, and she says she'll never let us go. And she's very, very nice to us.
She said she'll never let you guys go? Okay. And I remember you told me something. She calls all the kids in her class a certain term.
A child of God, rather a prince or a princess.
A teacher who calls every student in her class a child of God, a prince or a princess. How would you like to go to a school where you're referred to as a prince or a princess? Wow, that gives you a sense of dignity and worth. Praise God. Now, I must tell you, I'm sorry to interject a little bit here. Miss Killebrew, she does get angry. But you know what she gets angry about? When kids disrespect other kids, like bullying. She cannot tolerate bullying at all. In fact, we appreciate her so much. If you're caught bullying in her class, she'll bring you up to the front and make a public example of you. She won't not belittle you, but she'll make a public example of you and make you accountable to the rest of your classmates. And I know that happened last year, correct?
Multiple times.
Most of the times? All the times. Yeah, and it did pretty much stop the bullying, didn't it? Not that there was a lot, but it curbed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. God is good that you have a good teacher like that. So thanks for sharing. That's one thing you love about your teacher. What's your favorite subject?
History.
History. Okay. What do you like about history?
It not like going back in time and seeing things that I never really knew were there, and to see great battles and great people back then. It's really cool to see those things that happened back then.
Amen. Do you see, when you study history, do you see God at all in history?
I see God through prophecy.
Wow. Prophecy is a big one, right? Some people call history his story. Because really, it's the unfolding of the events that are ultimately pointing us to the second coming of Christ. Amen. That's awesome, Garrett. Did you have a verse or?
Mark 14:29.
What does it say?
I don't remember.
Garrett has almost a photographic memory. I believe it's the one that said, I have told you these things ahead of time, so that after they come to pass, you will believe, correct? Am I thinking of the right one? I think you showed that to me. So praise the Lord, you've got the photographic memory for half the part, and I've got the audio memory for the second half. We're a good team. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Garrett. I appreciate that. We appreciate you. God is so good. Here's a verse also, Garrett, you may like. There's the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and these are all the kingdoms back then, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure. When God gives a dream and he says something's going to happen, it is certain. So praise the Lord, God. Praise the Lord, Garrett. That's right. God shows his handiwork in the unfolding of history. Abigail, where are you? Come on up. Abigail's precious. She's so smart. And she's got this precious gift. It's a beautiful spot of your character. It's that you're shy. And that's a wonderful thing in the sight of God. Come on up here. It's okay. You know I don't bite. Here, take the mic. All right. What is your, first of all, tell us what grade you're in.
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, okay. Who's your teacher? Use the little red button right there. Miss Killebrew. All right. What do you like about your teacher?
Well, she's strict and she's funny most of the time, but if you get on her bad side, it's like she turns into a different person.
She turns into a different person. So she's funny. Praise God. That eases up the tension, right? But I know you never get on her bad side. You're one of those straight-A kids. That's wonderful. And once again, Miss Kilbrew's bad side is actually a good side, right? Because she holds those accountable for their actions. So God is good. Abigail, what's your favorite subject?
Science.
Science. Cool. Science. What do you like about science?
Well, I can't really explain it. It's just that, most of the time, science is mostly about what the bones are made of and stuff like that, and then I really like stuff about the body and stuff like that.
There's a lot of different branches of science, right? Like archaeology and biology and chemistry. That's true. You shared something with me recently about nature, because there's a science in nature too. You want to share that with us? Put the mic nice and close.
It's because, when you look out at the birds, sometimes I wonder, what are they trying to tell God or how they're singing, and I really like it.
She loves listening to the birds in the morning. In fact, your mom, if you don't mind me sharing, she said oftentimes the birds will be singing, and Abigail will get up and say, "Mommy, Mommy, the birds are singing. It's time to wake up. We need to spend time with Jesus." That is so precious. That is so precious. Do you have a favorite verse that may talk about science?
Job 38:4-10.
What does it say? I'll hold it for you.
It says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measures lines across it? On what were the footing sent? Or who laid the cornerstone? While in the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the seas behind doors when they burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds in garments and wrapped in thick darkness, and when I fixed limit for it."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Abigail, for sharing. That is precious. And I got a little verse for you. It goes right along with what you're saying. Psalm 139:14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Science is awesome, Abigail. Thanks so much for sharing. Precious, precious. Gisela, where's Gisela? Is she here? Oh, come on up front, Gisela. Who here likes science? All right, science is a good subject. Thanks for coming, Gisela. Oh, here, you can use this one, right here. What grade are you in, Gisela?
I'm in seventh.
Seventh grade? Okay, who's your teacher?
Mr. Westerhout.
Okay, we know Mr. Westerhout. We'll go back here real quick. Mr. Westerhout, there he is. All right, and what is your favorite subject?
History.
History. You like history like Garrett, okay. What do you like about history?
It's like, when I learn about history, you can see how God has worked with other people, and I can just, it's like reassures me that God can work through my life as well as them.
Amen. So when you look at history, you learn how God has worked with other people,
yeah.
And that's encouraging to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because certainly if he took the time for others, he's going to take the time for us. That is wonderful. Something you like about your teacher?
He's very funny, and he's very, like, artistic, and he loves reading.
And he loves reading?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Bill, I don't know where you are, but you're a funny guy. Thank you, Gisela. Amen. Thank you so much. God is good. All right. Well, then we've got Asher, another one close to home. Oh, I got this one for you, Gisela. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. God is so good. Asher, where are you? Come on up front. We were going to include Ian, too, but we thought he may need another year. How are you? I guess everybody knows your name already. This is my son, Asher David Hart. And Asher, who is your teacher?
Mrs. Wilson.
Mrs. Wilson. Can you find her? The little red button right there. There she is. Okay. What do you like about your teacher? What grade are you in?
First grade.
First grade. And what do you like about your teacher?
She plays on the swing with us.
She plays on the swing with you? Wow, that is a cool teacher. Swing on the swing with her kids. Praise God. And what's your favorite subject?
Science.
Science. Okay. What do you like about, what part of science do you like? Nature, geology?
Nature.
You like nature. Yeah, I know. You love nature. What do you like about nature? You have a favorite animal? What is it?
Lizard.
Lizards. Plenty of those in California. And when you look at nature, does it tell you anything about God?
Yes.
Okay. Did you write something down? You can go ahead and read it. Speak nice and loud to the microphone. Yeah.
God is the creator of all things and the earth. Science is the study of all things God made for us. When we study science, we get to see God's creation, which makes us love him more.
Wow, that is so cool. And it looks like you have a scripture, too. You want to read that one? Go ahead.
Psalm 19:1-4. The heavens tell the glory of God, and the skies announce what his hands have made. Day after day, they tell the story. Night after night, they tell it again. They have no speech or words. They have no voice to be heard. But their message goes out through all the world. Their words go everywhere on earth. Psalm 19:1-4.
Wow, that is a cool verse. Thank you so much for sharing. Here, you can keep that. All right. Another science buff. What do you think about that animal, Asher? Pretty cool, huh? I like what this verse says. It says, this is Romans 1:20. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I mean, how can you look at a toucan? I mean, look at that thing. How can you look at that and conceive the fact that that thing was formed from mud and went through different transformations? No way. Somebody took a paintbrush to that. And the beak. Look at the size of that beak. That is pretty cool. Thanks for sharing, Asher. Science is awesome, and so is nature. Kaylee, I think you were going to share. I think you may be the last one who's going to share with us today. There you are, right there. Come on up. Don't worry, we're all shy. We just don't want to admit it the older we get. Kaylee, what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade?
Yes.
Okay. And who is your teacher? Let me go back and we will allow you to find them for us. sixth grade, and your teacher is?
Miss Killebrew.
Miss Killebrew. She's popular today.
Yeah.
All right. What do you like about Miss Killebrew?
Well, she never stops. Like, if we don't get something, she doesn't mind that we don't get it. She'll keep on going and trying to get it through our head.
Get it through? All right. So, like, when you don't understand something,
yeah,
she'll just keep going on the same, going back and forth until she yeah, until you it clicks, right?
Yeah, she's wow, consistent.
She's consistent?
Yeah.
Wow. How many kids would praise their teachers for being consistent? That is so neat. So, and what is your favorite subject?
My favorite subject is reading.
Reading. What do you like about reading?
I see God through it because, like, I've had difficulties in reading before, and I'm dyslexic, so it was hard to read. So when I read and I understand it, I praise God because I can get it.
Amen. That is great. You know, when I went off to school a couple months ago, I met a pastor who's terribly dyslexic, and he gave a worship, and you would never know it. I mean, the way he articulated his words and his presentation was phenomenal. But he told us, all of us other pastors in the room, he says, you guys have no idea what I've struggled with. But he says, God is so good. And God has helped him to learn in different ways, and we serve an amazing God. And I can understand why you praise him every time you grasp something. Did you have a scripture that you like? Or
my favorite scripture is John 3:16 because it shows me the promise that God came, gave his son up, and it was his only son, and he gave it up for us.
Amen. How many times have you read that verse?
A lot of times.
Hundreds probably, right? Wow, what a blessing. Thank you so much for sharing, Kaylee. God is good. Thank you so much. What precious kids we have, huh? I think I thought of a verse for you too, Kaylee. Where is it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That is wonderful, Kaylee. You know, so many people just hear the pastor and then they don't go study for themselves. And that was the typical of those in Thessalonica. But those in Berea, they would go back home, and they would read, and they would study to see if those things were true. Reading is such a precious, precious, precious gift. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, as we get older, those kids who shared, you know, we typically tend to think that we know it all. I mean, we say we don't, but we're not very ready to learn from the young ones. But the truth is, you know what the funny thing is about knowledge is that knowledge is the progressive realization of how much you don't know. That's what knowledge is. Is that not true? I mean, the more we learn about God, the more we realize how little we actually know. But the little we do know, how precious it is. And it's the same thing with anything in life. And I believe that's why throughout all eternity, we're all going to be learning, ever, ever, ever learning. How precious is that going to be, Asher, when you're looking at a lizard and you can ask the angel to explain it to you? And the angel comes over, or Caleb, you can even ask an angel to read something from the scroll that was handed to the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 4, how amazing is that going to be? Where you can pick apart a rock, you know, and mine for those precious gems without all the machinery and the loud noises that we have here. That's an amazing thing. Who here wants to have the attitude of a learner? Amen. We all need to have the attitude of a learner. A lot of us need to talk a little less and listen a little bit more, especially when it comes to God, especially in prayer. We're talkers. All of us are talkers when it comes to prayer. We talk and talk and talk and tell God what we want and tell him how we feel and tell him what's bothering us and tell him what we need and tell him we even praise him, and that's great. All these things are wonderful, but how many of us stop and actually listen? Stop and actually listen for God to respond back to us through his word, not through meditation in some ways, but read his word and then let him speak back to us through his word. We all need to be listeners and have the attitude of a listener. That is what true education is. True education is the process of restoring the image of God in man. That's what true education is. All other education is worthless if we don't become more like our Maker and are able to walk through the gates of glory and have the privilege of learning and ever learning and continually learning through the ceaseless ages of eternity just how deep God's love is, and being able to just stand in awesome wonder at the works of his hands. Is that your prayer today? Amen. May God bless everyone today. May we never forget that our relationship to education is an inseparable relationship. We have to keep learning. We have to keep studying his word. Otherwise, we will not grow in holiness. We will not grow in a knowledge of him. May God ever bless everybody this Sabbath day. Have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath.